Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Someone's texting in to say, with the passionate support for Cosby, Trump and even Brexit, how can it be that what is so obviously right to them is so obviously wrong to me? We must have the same set of facts, but arrive at utterly opposite conclusions. There must be some subtle mental nuance in some of humanity that hasn't been identified yet. What other explanation can there be? Well, maybe the explanation is zombies. What do they mean? Obviously, there's been a zombie craze in recent years, but why is that? What does that say about us? Greg Garrett, who is a theologian, argues that it's about us pondering what it means to be human. Greg is the author of Living with the Living Dead. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hey, Sean. It's great to be on with you again.
So there seems to be periods in history when there's a lot of zombies and other periods when there's not so many.
Yeah, you know, and I was just sort of listening to the wave of bad news as you were talking through it on the radio today, and I was thinking this is pretty typical of our era. And not only do we have, you know, bad things happening every day, but we, of course, live in a culture where we find out about the bad things happening every day. So, you know, the bad things that happen in Dublin and the bad things that happen in Paris where I am and the bad things that happen back home in the States where I'm from, they're not hidden from us anymore. They wash over us like this, you know, wave of undead walking toward us. And one of the things that I think the zombie story does is it kind of offers us the narrative dimension of what life sort of feels like. All of these things walking toward us, and, you know, is it even possible that we're going to survive this?
Mm. And so is it an expression, almost a subconscious expression of a feeling of threat?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you had mentioned that in certain epics, death kind of steps to the forefront of our art. One of my big discoveries in writing the book was the different times from the Middle Ages to the trenches in World War I to the Holocaust, where because of the sort of species-defining threats that it seems like we're facing, death or even capital D death get up and walk around. And a lot of the representations are not that different from what we would see on The Walking Dead or the White Walkers in the Game of Thrones.
Mm. In a lot of movies as well, movies seem to go through spates where there's wide-scale destruction, where New York is leveled. New York is always getting leveled every 6 months. There's almost like a weird sort of wish fulfillment in there.
Well, that's what the apocalypse story does, and I'm very interested not just in zombies, but in the zombie apocalypse, because when you put those two together, when you've got the sort of waves of, you know, almost human but not quite human monsters walking our way, and the end of the world, what you've got is this sort of laboratory for, it seems to me, our kind of present situation in the West. And writing as an American, you know, I think of it primarily as a sort of post-9/11 kind of thing, but it really just sort of fits for all of us in the West who are wrestling with this wave of menaces, whether we're thinking about terrorism or economic or political discord or any of those things. It's just one of the interesting things I discovered in the course of writing the book was, you know, thinking of zombie movies, well over a third of them have appeared since 2001, when 28 Days Later came out, just after the Twin Towers fell.
Mm. Yeah, that is interesting. But I suppose in if you like a metaphorical sense, and just referring back to that text I read out, we see zombies in each other now.
Yeah, and just thinking about that texture, and you know, how can my mother have voted for Donald Trump, and we live in the same planet and breathe the same oxygen? And so I think one of the interesting things that comes with the sort of zombie story is we wrestle with their likeness to us and their difference from us. I think it would be a mistake to think too much about the idea that those who don't think that we are like zombies, although that is sort of a quick go-to for us.
Mm.
You know, we look at the crowd of whatever rally it is that we're not a part of, and we say, you know, how can these people be so unthinking? How can they, you know, just sort of wander around and not see the world as it is? So I think that is a place where we want to stop short and go, yes, but the zombie story also reminds us about the essential differences between us, you know, the humanity that we share and the call that we have to do something better and be something better and form communities, which are all sorts of things that at least we don't believe that zombies can do based on what we think we know about zombies.
Mm. Yeah, you also say in your book that films like Shaun of the Dead are kind of moral fables. What is the moral there?
Oh, it is so brilliant. You know, if you go back and watch the movie again, you watch the opening credits, and you've got all of these scenes of contemporary life where people are sort of locked into repetitive motion. You know, their headphones are on, their heads are down. They are, you know, they're not really even paying attention to the world. And the sort of first scene in the pub in Shaun of the Dead, Shaun's girlfriend talks about how basically they are kind of stuck in what you would think of as the sort of living death. We never do anything new. Every day is the same. And it reminds me a lot. I did an interview with one of the producers and writers of The Walking Dead, Angela Kang, and she talked about how in The Walking Dead, you know, it's just sort of coincidentally about zombies, because what really the show lets them do is to focus on the fact that really human beings can fall into this state of life. And what Angela told me is something that's been repeated on the show and in the comic both, where characters say, "We are the walking dead." Mm-hmm. And it is just, you know, so easy. And when we think about some of the wisdom traditions that focus on mindfulness, you know, whether you're a Buddhist or a Benedictine, it sort of occurs to us that wisdom teachers would not have to tell us to be attentive to our lives quite so often if it wasn't wisdom that we really need to hear over and over.
It often strikes me, though, that actually what might be attractive about these apocalyptic futures or these apocalyptic stories is that that suspicion, A, that we're zombies ourselves, so that gets rid of that once you've leveled London or New York. And it also simplifies life beautifully, because life is annoyingly confusing. Whereas you suddenly exist in a world where it's about survival. It's about my people against, you know, the evil zombies, and it's okay to kill them. And that's really the only dilemma facing anybody.
Yeah, that's the part that does sort of feel good to us. In an interview with the writer of Zombieland, Rhett Reese, he talked about how one of the things that's really nice about this, metaphorically speaking, is that you can take a baseball bat to the zombie. That is a solution that we don't necessarily have, you know, with economic unrest or with the party that I dislike being in power, or you know, with the refugees that scare me.
Mm.
But there is that sort of narrative element to it, which is that, you know, in the story, you can take a baseball bat to one or more of these zombies and clear a little space for yourself and go to bed. But of course, the thing about the story is that you get up the next morning and the zombies are in your front yard again.
Yeah, but it's comfortingly simple. Would that not have the opposite effect of considering our humanity or our common humanity? You're trying to understand somebody else, even though ostensibly you don't understand them. You can just go and hit them with a baseball in a zombie universe.
Oh, and see, that's why we have to sort of ask ourselves, who are the zombies and who are not? And in most of these mythos, it's pretty clear that the zombies are sort of soulless, you know, consumers. And even so, one of the studies that I read in the course of writing the book with a psychiatrist talked about probably everybody in this apocalyptic world would have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the simple act of being involved in violence, even though you can say to yourself they're soulless, but they're still, you know, they're similar enough to us that there's something disquieting about it. And that's something that we see early on in the Walking Dead TV series. There's a moment where Rick, the sort of hero of the series, comes back to a zombie that is lying out on a lawn, sort of unable to move, and he, you know, puts it out of its misery, so to speak, with a bullet from his pistol, and there are tears in his eyes, because early on in the story, there is this very clear sense to him that, you know, this is still very much like me. This is a creature that is maybe more like me than not like me, and so this is a hard thing to do. And so I think that probably one of the things that happens to all of these characters, and I guess in some sort of metaphorical way to us as well, is that we wrestle with post-traumatic stress disorder, with these threats that keep us awake at night.
Yeah, and in these films and in these stories, though, do people find more substance and meaning in their life if at the start there is the suspicion that they've been having a zombie-like existence too?
Yeah, I think they actually do. We can see it on a personal level with lots of characters from different stories. And Shaun of the Dead, which we were talking about earlier, is a great example of that. The title, of course, is a play on the George Romero film Dawn of the Dead, which is one of the early movies where that equation is made between The Walking Dead and The Walking. The movie is set in a shopping mall, and the zombies gravitate back to the shopping mall where our heroes have sort of taken up residence in the movie because that's what they remember doing. And Shaun of the Dead is about this person, you know, who starts off sort of as one of the walking dead and comes to life. You know, he becomes a hero in the course of the story. He forms a community. He learns how to love. I mean, all the sort of things that we talk about when we think about, you know, human beings living life to the fullest. Shaun goes from that sort of, you know, kind of flatline state at the beginning of the story to a character who has really achieved a lot and grown a lot. And that's true of a lot of individual characters in these zombie apocalypse stories. That's, I think, one of the things that we really like about them is that they let us see what possibilities there are for human beings.
Mm. Yeah, but at the same time, you still have to kill a lot of zombies.
Yeah, when you're doing that,
which is not a happy job. Well, have you ever dreamt, fantasized, Greg, about killing zombies yourself?
You know, when I was writing the book, I was writing in a cabin in the hill country of Texas. And so I was out there by myself, and I was watching movies and TV shows at night for research before I went to bed, writing during the day. So I was living zombies 24/7. And believe me when I say that I wasn't dreaming about it, but I was having sort of walking nightmares because, you know, the cabin would creak, and I would say, they're coming in. They're coming in through that door.
Did you have a baseball bat by your bed?
No. I just, you know, pulled the covers up and did that wonderful monster movie thing, which is, you know, if I can't see them, they can't see me.
Yeah, and that always works. Greg, thanks very much for speaking. That's nice to talk to you again. That's Professor Greg Garrett there. He's a professor of English at Baylor University and a theologian and the author of Living with the Living Dead, The Wisdom of the Zombie Apocalypse.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.